Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
Hi, Ash. Not too bad, not too bad. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Happy May. May Day.
Happy May, really? Just in general.
Happy May.
It feels like it's taken forever to get here, but it's gone really quick.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like nearly halfway through the year.
Oh, don't. And we've had this really nice weekend, weather-wise, and then today, I don't know about you, but it's been...
Oh my God, it's not stopped. It's like flooded.
It is. It's awful. It's like April showers, which we didn't have in May, and it's freezing cold. I had to put the heating on today.
I was sat in my dressing gown. It's suddenly windy and rainy all day.
It's been awful. It's been really awful. Good news, though. I've had the jab, my first one, so I'm on my way to protecting everybody. I like to think of myself as a little superhero. But incidentally, they wrote the date down of when I had the jab, so it says the 3rd of May, 2031. So is that a sign?
There's a lockdown going on.
So I'm 10 years in the future. So, and genuinely, they wrote 3rd of the 5th, 31. So I don't know whether to be concerned what I had in my arm or...
Yeah, you're about to wait a long time for your second one.
Yeah. But we sat down and she took my little card off me and the woman injected me. Then they checked my details. And they goes, are you Greg Tomlinson? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I am. That's good then, because you've just had one. So I come out there slightly confused and not sure exactly what just happened. But so that was my eventful day, really. I don't know whether yours was that excited.
Well, no, I'm not old enough, not as old as you to get mine yet.
I'll tell you what, but since I got my notification, it's gone down 2 further brackets and it's still in the 40s. So I don't know what that says.
Oh, yeah.
But the funniest thing is, the first the appointment thing come up, and the nearest appointment's like 30 miles away. So I kept refreshing it. It's like 30 miles, 30 miles, 30 miles. No. So be prepared. Jesus. It seems to be a long distance away. But luckily managed to get it quite close this time. So anyway, that's enough about me. You've just moved and you all settled in, everything like that, all good?
Yeah, moved into a proper old house in Trafford in Sale. So I've been trying to do some research on it, and all I've been able to find out so far is the name of a guy that lived there in 1901. So it's at least 120 years old.
Oh, wow.
I found some like rent stuff on it, and it was like £16 a year for the rent, something like that on this building. I got the guy's name, and I found his graveyard in Sale Cemetery, around the corner from here. So it's big old building. Hopefully we'll have some occurrences happening. Might try and talk to this, can't remember his name, it's a bit of a weird name, but might try and reach out to him, see if I can contact him in any way.
Yeah, definitely. There'll be... That'd be interesting if you managed to get some info. If he can tell you where he kept all the gold and all the money.
Yeah, in the massive basement that's there.
Tell me about that. Somewhere. I know you told us, well, told me that there's a basement down there, so.
Yeah, it's a massive basement. Like it's a massive building. It's been converted into, I think it's 8 different flats, and there's a basement. And there's at least 10 different rooms in the basement, and there's... couple of kitchens, there's like a serving room. Obviously it's just all bricks, and there's like old stoves in there that look like they're 100 years old. It's still down there. Looks like possibly servants' quarters or something, I don't know. I'm trying to find out some more history on the building.
Sounds like a podcast episode right there.
Definitely live streaming from the basement.
Yeah.
Right, getting the Wi-Fi to work.
I was going to say, get the Wi-Fi down there and we're all good. That genuinely, that could be a good thing. We do a spirit box session and all sorts down there. The sure. Your neighbours will wonder what the hell's going on.
Probably flooded today with the rain. It was the rain we had today.
It's been awful. It really has. And I was hoping it'd be a bit like it was last year, because I think just as we went into lockdown last year, it was all nice and sunny and blazing hot. I was hoping for a bit more of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's enough about about our exciting weekends. We are joined this week by some people that I know very well. And it's on the podcast this week is Becca, Chris, Trudy and Glyn from the Windrush Valley Paranormal Group that I belong to as well. That we started about 18 months ago as a collective of like-minded people. I'll let Becca tell the how it all started, but we all came together over like a day or so period and have been trying to get out and about and get investigating ever since, but then we had lockdown, so had a chat to them. So it's a bit of a strange one for me because I was kind of interviewing them alongside you and asking them questions for stuff that I kind of knew the answer with. And so if it sounds a bit strange sometimes where I'm answering and asking questions as well, that'd be why it is. So but yeah, so we're a paranormal group based in Witney in Oxfordshire. Check out our page. We'll pop all the links as normal with all of our guests. We have a good chat with the guys, some interesting stuff around spirits, technology, that kind of thing.
Some proper interesting stories as well that they talk about.
Yeah, definitely. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. As ever, drop us any emails, drop us messages across social media. But before we go into the episode, we've had another paranormal podcast reach out and connect with us on social media, and as part of our sharing and promoting everybody that have sort of like-minded interests, you're going to hear a short promo from their podcast, and that's the Spirit Level podcast. I've been listening to it this weekend. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So yeah, have a listen, check them out as well, and we will see you on the other side of the interviews, guys.
Enjoy.
Hello everyone, join me, a small medium at large, as we explore the world of spirit, energy, tarot, mediumship, psychic abilities, angels, oracles, paranormal activity, and basically anything downright spooky. If any, some, or all of those things interest you, then you've come to the right place, my friends. I'm Melanie Mahmood and welcome to the Spirit Level podcast.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. So we are joined, as mentioned in the intro, by Windrush Valley Paranormal, based in Witney, part of the group that I'm part of as well. So how's everybody doing?
Good. Not bad.
Thank you.
Good.
All good.
Been a good weekend.
It has. Weather's been great.
A very lazy weekend, but a very good weekend.
So it's been a... it's been a strange 12 months. We've had the lockdown. We've not been able to do any investigations. So what have you guys been up to during this 12 months?
I think the same as everyone else. Not very much. It's been a difficult 12 months all around, hasn't it? Yeah. I think everyone's put on a little bit of weight.
Homeschooling and learning new hobbies just to keep you busy.
Yeah. Well, we have got up and down as our team. We just need to get out there.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we were fortunate enough to go out in July. Was it July? I think we went out.
I believe it was around that time.
Around for July, the, when the lockdown eased last time. So do one of you want to explain what we got up to and where we went?
Oh, we went to our local area of Minster Lovell Ruins, which is a well-known haunted spot, and there's loads of stories about the Minster Lovell Hall dating back. I can't remember what though. And we chose that specific spot because it was outdoors, so we could do an outside investigation, so we knew we'd be safe and sticking to COVID rules. But yeah, it was a good evening. We had a couple of answers on the spirit box. It was quite good.
Yeah.
But the story goes that there's a lady that was due to get married was playing hide and seek with her bridesmaids before the ceremony, and she never turned up at the altar, and all the bridesmaids couldn't find her, and they searched the place from top and bottom, couldn't find her. And then years later, when removing things from the attic, they found, sadly, her body locked in a chest, still in her wedding gown, which she'd hidden in the chest, and the chest had come down and locked on her, and obviously passed away from asphyxiation. So that's one of the stories. And there's the story of Lord Lovell between the Civil War. I don't know the full story, but I believe that he was one side or the other, but they don't know whether he was buried on the grounds, whether he was accosted by the royalists, or he tried to escape. But there's said to be that he also haunts the grounds.
Cool. It's interesting because we done a Christmas episode where we were doing Christmas ghost stories, and that particular story about the woman in the chest came up. So that was one that is quite a famous story. So, okay, going back a bit further, what got each of you interested in the paranormal? Do you want to start, Becca and Chris?
I have been interested in it since I was quite young, had some strange experiences from a young age, didn't necessarily know that much about the paranormal then or put it down to that, but over time and with hindsight, it's what I would now put it down to. And yeah, it just grew from there. As soon as I could get out and go on ghost hunts, as soon as I was old enough, that's what I wanted to be doing. I kind of, with me, it goes hand in hand with spirituality as well. So for me, that plays a massive part in it, which I have a massive love for too. So yeah, it's just grown.
As for me, it's not really something I sort of was aware of or massively interested in until sort of really me and Becca got together and knew she was interested in our first house and sort of things started happening that were, you can't explain at all. And I was then started to hear some things and sort of the curiosity and sort of wanted some answers and sort of delve into that sort of topics a lot more, so we both had a lot of interest in it, and yeah, it's sort of really started from there and sort of grown really.
So you said that you had some experiences in the house. What kind of things was that?
I was a few times heard sort of whispering in my ear. Also heard my name being called out early on the morning. So this was before we had any children, and like a sunny morning, and heard my it's actually Becca's dad, his name being called out twice and mine once, clear as day. I was wide awake, wasn't hungover, and it was quite obviously a bit sort of uneasy really. And then also we had sort of things like watching telly and a photo frame fell over even though it was tilted back. There's no draft, nothing, even if there was a draft, it was strong enough to do that. I think a few other people sort of heard things that were very unusual sort of going on in the house, and our daughter as well, so sort of she said a few strange things when she was really, really little. But yeah, just sort of curious really what so, it could have been or what it was.
So what do you think it is, Chris?
I think it might have been
well, supposedly it's my great nan who I never met. And we've had quite a lot of proof that would lead us to believe that that probably is the case. And thankfully, when we moved house, she came with us. So, so we still get some unusual things going on here.
Yeah.
Is it scary?
No. No, the scariest thing we probably had was when someone was really little in our bedroom and she was staring up and smiling and chatting to the corner of our room. And we asked who she was talking to, and she said, "The man on the ceiling." So, yeah, that was a little bit, not sure who he was.
How did you respond to that? Because that would freak me the fuck out, I'll be honest with you.
He kind of said, "Oh, that's nice, let's go downstairs."
Quickly change the topic and get out.
But she seems to be pretty sensitive herself, so.
Oh, wow.
It's strange you say that, because I mean, before I met Trude, I was sort of, a couple of things happened, but, you know, sort of shrug it off. And then I moved in with Trude, and strange things had happened in our house, or in Trude's house at the time. There was the first night that something happened, we just got into bed, and I, clear as day, heard footsteps going upstairs. And it was a creaking and a foot going up each step. So, like all men do, big stick in your boxer shorts, shouting down the stairs, "Get out or I'm going to hit you." Walking around the house, nobody there. All the doors were locked, windows were shut. But I still swear to this day that there was someone walking up the stairs.
I did tell him at the time that it was the ghost in the house.
Well,
he didn't want to believe me at first.
She told me the ghost in the house. And then we had a kettle. And we'd be watching telly and the kettle would just boil by itself. So we thought, oh, all right, that's weird. Got another kettle and did exactly the same thing. And she's telling me about the ghost. And this is all sort of about 2 months down the line of being together. Then she decided to tell me about the guy that was murdered in the house. Literally the previous occupant. But our eldest daughter used to have night terrors. And that was waking up. Well, not even waking up. Sitting up, shaking. You know, and I'll go up there and she'd be like, "It's the man in the corner, the man in the corner." And nobody there. You know, you sort of have to try and get her to lie back down and go back to sleep and stuff. And that lasted for about 4 or 5 years.
Until we left.
Until we left.
Until we moved house. And then it stopped.
And literally the day we moved into our new house, it stopped and she's never had it since. And I find that very strange. But it's the house. That house was very much, it was one of those places you weren't happy and comfortable being in at all. You know, you could paint, decorate, make it all look nice, and it was still sort of draining.
Yeah.
Energy draining.
Yeah.
Sort of getting out of there was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah. But previously, before that, you were more of a skeptic.
Oh, yeah, more of a skeptic. I mean, something happened to me when I was a kid. And that was, I was probably about 5 years old. And that was getting sent to bed. And it was the house, well, the bedroom, it was a bungalow. So our bedroom used to have a front door. So the actual bedroom light switch was on the other side of the room where the old front door used to be. So you used to have to walk across the room to turn the light off. And we had a big wardrobe right next to the light switch on the other side of the room in the dark. And I remember getting halfway across the room and the wardrobe door just opening. Nice and casually, like the old horror squeaky door. And I'll be honest, that scared the shit out of me. And I don't remember much of my childhood, but I do. And I've always remembered that. And yeah, I always make sure that wardrobe doors are shut when I go to bed, strangely, yeah, even now. But yeah, that's sort of, you know, my experiences. And yeah, since being with Shrewd and stuff that's happened now, I've been, I suppose, more understanding of it and accepting of it and curious of it. And I still try and, what's the word?
You're a skeptic. You're still trying to debunk
stuff. Debunk everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I hear a noise, I will go and try and find out whether it was something knocking or whether I can make the same sound again. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's pretty much me, I think.
How about you, Trudy? How did you get into the paranormal?
I had no choice to getting into the paranormal because I was kind of born with this gift of being sensitive and seeing things that other people weren't seeing. My mum used to call it my imaginary friends. She'd always put it down to, oh, you and your imaginary friends. And I'm like, they're not imaginary. They were like as solid as me and you. And I was seeing them. Like, one particular one was a child named Jack. But years later, I find this old photo album of my nan's from when my dad was living in Egypt. And there's him standing next to this little boy that I've been seeing throughout my childhood. I tried to ask him who he was, and he's like, I'm too young to remember him, but he was there in this photograph. And obviously, back then, childhood diseases and stuff like that, it could quite possibly mean that he passed away. But why would I see him as a child when I was growing up? So then, I suppose for years after that, I tried blocking it out. I tried to ignore my gift, using all manner of ways. Alcohol, so on and so forth. But then I met Glyn, and I became more open to it again. I gave up bad habits that I was using to block it. And I also went to a spiritualist church, and I met a lady there that was running a circle, spirit circle, where I could be trained or taught how to block it myself rather than using other reasons to block it. And she taught me some tips and tricks on how to block it and how to use my gift in a sense of, like, if I want to communicate with spirit, sort of certain body feelings and that give you indication of how the spirit might pass away. Normally, if you're in an area where it's haunted, for me personally, if I get like a stomach ache or chest pains or a headache, then I know that the spirit had sort of problems with their stomach, chest, head, depending on what I get at the time. And yeah, she trained me how to use it in a positive light and how to expel negative spirits, because obviously they come about now and again, and how to protect myself. So that's how I became fascinated with the paranormal, and now I'm open to investigating it more and being there for the group as a sensitive. I wouldn't say I was a psychic or a medium, but I just have this knowing gift that I like to use.
Do you have any theories as to why certain people do have gifts like the one that you've got?
I don't. I think sometimes it's lineage, so it's passed down through family lines. That's one theory I've heard. Another theory is the blood type theory that we've spoken about before in one of your lives. The negative blood type, apparently us negative blood types are supposed to be quite spirit sensitive. And the other theory I've heard is not being christened, because if you've been christened, it's, they quite often close your third eye.
I've got that theory as well.
Yeah. See, when they do this on your head, they're closing your third eye. And
when you become a priest, they do the same and open your third eye.
Open your third eye. So they're open to interpretations and messages from what they say would be God. But I think it's more opening them up to the spiritual realm.
I think it is very much open-minded. Isn't it? You know, if you've got to be willing to accept any possibility or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just switch off and sort of go about their day and mundane day-to-day business, isn't it? But it's, you know, you've got people that curiosity. You know, you hear a noise, you want to go and investigate and see what it is. And when you can't explain it, you know, that's when your mind starts sort of going off on one, I suppose. Yeah.
I'm exactly the same with that. As soon as I hear something, I want to rule it out. Put it to bed. You know what it is. It's nothing to worry about. It's when you're specifically going somewhere to look for, you know, activity. And then it happens and you can't rule it out, then you kind of expect something like that to happen. But it's good to know that there is no explanation behind it and that maybe it potentially could be.
But isn't my biggest fear with that is never that it's a spirit, it's that it is a human. If I hear a noise, I'm worried someone has broken in. I'm worried someone's got into the building, we're investigating, that type of thing. Like, I'm hoping it is paranormal, that, you know, we can debunk everything else.
Yeah.
There is no, because the scary part for me is it being a human.
You'd rather.
And I know you guys would understand that.
Yeah, for sure.
I always find it strange that if something happens in the night, like men being men, we want to go and find out what's going on. What's going on? Is someone in my house? But we always seem to forget to put trousers on. and it is, we're all like, yeah, you know, chest out, sticking hand, who's in my house? And you get downstairs, you have a look around, there's nobody gone, and then you realise, I probably should have put trousers on, just in case there is someone there.
It's a good way to scare them off.
Especially with some of the patterns on my boxer shorts.
How did you all get together? How did the group itself form, I guess?
So basically, because I was so into paranormal and Chris, etc., we'd go on an awful lot of hunts and stuff, but there wasn't really anything local, any people that we knew locally who seemed to be doing that. So basically, good old Facebook, I put a message on there, spotted Whitney, which is where we're from, saying, you know, are there any groups currently, or is anyone up for making one? And, you know, a few days down the line, we all came together. So, and I'm a great believer in everything happens for a reason. So it was meant to be.
Cool. And that was about year and a half ago? Year and a half ago.
It's a shame we've been scuppered by COVID, but...
Yeah, we were just getting on a roll, weren't we? We were getting a few investigations coming in, people wanting us to do private houses, some people wanting us to do local pubs, and COVID happened, so some of these places we can't do until we know that we can follow the guidelines.
So you watch all these programs and they always have this fancy pieces of evidence. There's like screams and knocking and things being thrown. What is the most compelling piece of evidence that you've captured or witnessed or been part of when you've been out and about, either with the group or sort of any other investigation that you guys have done?
when we were over at Chowbury, at that little office somewhere on Sheep Street, the little kids' footprints, that was odd because it was like wooden footprints, but the floor was stone. But it was just after Kathy had said, we're going to have a tea party. And it was like little kiddies running to, like they wanted to go to the tea party. It was quite sweet. And you, Becca?
I would say when we, you've got an opinion on that, haven't you?
Well, it's probably the one in Leicester, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. It was the Towers Asylum, and basically we managed to get in there just before it was being turned into houses and apartments and whatnot. And we were all stood around in a circle, holding hands as you do, you know, making sure if anyone did anything, the person next to them was going to know about it, sort of thing. And we're stood there calling out, and it was just kind of like those old horror films, you know, when they hear the three loud bangs on the door and no one's there. But it was loud. It was incredibly, like, it was just so loud, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think we went through into the room where it came from, and there was broken glass all over the place. If someone was in there and they did it, you would have heard them getting away because of the broken glass under your foot. And there was no way, I think on the first floors, there was no way out for a window or anything. It was, yeah, obvious it was something you couldn't really explain. Really.
And it's also the place where we both saw shadow figures for the first time, and it wasn't a small one, it was massive. And the fact that we both saw it was just, well, really significant for us both, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite often we have different things happen to us and different experiences, but that was the first time we kind of had something that major that we both witnessed.
I think we were the second from last group going into that area before they were going to demolish part of it and turn some of it into apartments. So I wouldn't fancy living there because there was a lot of other stories. Some of them we couldn't, we didn't experience that, but that was the one that really sort of stood out. I think for me it was probably a couple of things. One was in the ancient Ram Inn, had some stones thrown at my feet when we were all in one area of it, and there was a lot of things going on. You could hear things moving behind us in this. It's like a lot of sort of junk sort of left in this old barn, and you hear things moving quite significantly and when stones were getting thrown. I think another one was when we're in, I can't remember the name of the prison we went to. Nick Glastonbury.
Oh, not Gloucester.
So Shepton Mallet.
Yeah.
That's it. And it was unusual, but I've got up my phone somewhere. And they had a spirit box going, and just towards the end of it, it was basically my voice come through on the spirit box saying Grandpa, which was what Summer, our daughter at the time, was calling, used to call my dad, who since passed away. So it was that sort of threw me a lot, because you don't expect to hear certain voices come through, let alone your own. And it was definitely sounded just like mine, so that really sort of took me back a little bit.
That's pretty mad, hearing your own voice on the spirit box.
I'm pretty sure it was my voice.
It sounded just like him.
But no one else in the room sort of picked up on it, because it was quite a big group, and obviously just there was only me and Becca who sort of, we went together, so no one else sort of caught on straight away and said, oh, that sounded like you. But I said, when we went out and I listened to it, because I thought it sounded like me, yeah, it was. Well,
you mentioned spirit boxes there. So what's your thoughts on using technology in investigations? And do you have any favourite equipment that you like to use?
Yeah, I like to use a spirit box. We haven't yet to use the REM pod teddy bear yet, but I'm hoping we'll get some good evidence from that when we're into a location where there might be children involved. What do you like using?
I quite enjoy using the little night vision GoPros.
Yeah.
because they are small and handy. You can put them anywhere and just sort of walk away and leave them to do the job, innit? Yeah.
You had any results using the night vision GoPro?
This is the problem. We got them just after the lockdown started. So we haven't, I mean, we've done it at home. We sort of went down to Mr. Level, didn't we?
Yeah.
You get some orbs. But yeah, so I do want to use them a lot more as soon as we come out and get back to normal.
We're still questionable on orbs, whether they can be dust particles. I think it depends on the type of orb that you get, is whether it's a spirit orb or whether it's a dust particle or a moth or a fly, because they obviously, you can see the wings on them, but they can come up as like orbs as well.
How about you, Chris and Becca? Because I know, Chris, you like using the full spectrum cameras.
Yeah, I think definitely, because it's something you can look back on and it's quite easy to sort of prove with that, whether it's something could be genuine or, you know, it could be an insect or something, or whether it is actually an orb. I think the K2 meters is another sort of really good one. It's easy to use and it can give you a good indication for baseline whether, you know, there may be something going on that could explain noises or changing sort of temperatures or moods as such.
I guess I kind of like, I do like using the equipment, but at the same time, I kind of have a real thing for calling out. There's nothing like just being in a room by yourself or, you know, with the others and just sitting there quietly and just, you know, really listening, really tapping in and calling out. I think that will always be my favourite thing to do, because I feel you get the best connection with that. I mean, by all means, I love it, you know, then it being backed up by your K2 meter going off. Obviously, if we're picking stuff up on the cameras, amazing, because what paranormal, you know, group doesn't want to have that actual footage, you know, ultimately, that is what we all want, that solid proof. But I'm quite keen to just sit wherever we are alone and just tap into that.
So there's a lot of apps around at the moment that claim to be spiritual and ghost box. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not so sure about the apps.
No. I've not tried any personally, but I feel like the apps might be preset to throw things at you. I'm a bit dubious of them, to be perfectly honest. I don't think I've seen one that I could go, yeah, that might work, because I think they might be pre-designed to throw words. If it's one of like a
mobile phone app.
Yeah, that, you know, like the ones that give you words when it gets a sense of something's in the room, it could be pre-designed to throw things at you in different words. And I'm not sure about them.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, not for us.
Yeah, was it the Paranormal Puck? But that's one that's been designed by someone, isn't it? Like Ghost Adventures.
They use that on Haunted Hunts, don't they? The puck. And it's funny because we spoke to Danny Moss the other week and he really likes that piece of equipment.
But that's not like, that's an app, not just an app though, it's something that goes with the app, like the puck, because the sensors and stuff. And I think that one can sometimes give more affirming words that seem to make sense to the questions that you're asking. But I think one-off apps that you're buying off the app store, I don't think that they're very good.
Well, I think anything that's programmed with words.
Yeah.
How can you even trust? Like, you can't really trust it. Like with the spirit box, at least if there's stuff happening.
Yeah.
Like you, you get a sense that it can't really be fed.
Yeah.
It can't feed that word.
Because if you get a word that comes through on like a spirit box, you know that that's taken so many sweeps through different radio stations to get a word. Because you can have your sweep rate at like 150 or 200.
Yeah.
And it's so quick. So in order for it to form a word, it would have had to use several stations to do so. So I find that fascinating that that's how they come out.
I bring like the digital recorders when they ask a question and then they play it back.
EVP.
And you can hear the voice or something saying something that you can't actually do with your voice and you can't fake it.
My only down, sort of like the downside to EVPs is if you think it says something and you tell somebody else, I think it just said hello, that person's then going to be thinking that they're hearing hello.
Yeah.
I think it's about the delivery of that. So some of the programs, the Ghost Adventures, all those kind of programs, they will put up on the screen what they think the word is, rather than playing it and then telling you.
Therefore, you'd hear it.
So Chris has come up with a piece of equipment that he's been working on recently, and shared it within our group. Did you want to talk a little bit about what that is, Chris? Obviously, we've got video on the podcast, but this will be an audio, so you'll have to explain it to people. You can show it. There we go. So it looks to anybody listening.
Wow.
It looks like
a pirate's treasure chest or something.
Yeah.
Basically, various things I bought off of eBay, and it's like a very old sort of, we could say Victorian, maybe even older sort of medieval kind of looking box. You want it to look all familiar, or draw it. If we're going somewhere with a lot, there's a lot of history, then maybe this might draw them to it rather than something that's modern and looks a bit alien to them as such. But it's all it is it's basically got a, I can turn it on, let's find out if it works again. So on the side, there's a digital, there's a digital thermometer that basically tells the temperature. So if there's any temperature changes, we can see that. So as it's being held, it starts to creep up. And got some LEDs on the front as well. So basically, the key is that if anything tries to pick it up, then it's basically like a REM pod, or comes close to it, then obviously it sets it off. And if anyone actually tries to maybe pick it up, then hopefully, it should stand as being a good bit of indication. But it's maybe not as sensitive as I would have liked it to have been, but then on the flip side of that, maybe that's a good thing, because then it's not just going to go off on its own accord. So if you leave it somewhere, you can see the temperature change and then it starts going off, and maybe we can sort of tie them two together really in one bit of kit. That's really the base of it, but maybe I'll make a few more, make them a little bit bigger and a bit easier and less fiddly to put together. But hopefully we'll get to test it out soon, see if we can get anything with it.
What do you think would be the ultimate piece of evidence that could prove the existence of the paranormal?
Video footage of a full apparition.
Got to be visual.
Definitely.
But the problem is, with a lot of that stuff, it can be faked.
Yeah.
So
I think the thing is, though, as a group, if all of us saw it, and we had our footage, is that not enough? I wouldn't give a who didn't believe us, who thought it was fake. If I was with you guys and we all saw it with our own eyes and we had it on camera, I'd have a happy heart, because we would know that we've got it, and it wouldn't matter, if they think we're crazy, if they think we're faking it. We know we don't work like that, and, that's all that matters.
I agree with you. It'd also be good to try, and if we capture something on video, is to capture it audibly on another device as well. So that would definitely, so we can back it up. But like you say, if we're all there and we all see it, that's good enough.
So as lockdown's sort of easing now, what's your plans for investigations over the next couple of months?
As many as possible.
Yeah. Work for, that we've got, there was a couple of private people that we need to get back in contact with. Obviously can't give locations at the moment because we've got to get them booked in and confirmed. And obviously you have to ask vendors permissions if we can put their videos on YouTube and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I know we're going to try and book Cogs Manor Farm as one of our investigations. That's one we can talk about because it's something we'll book for an evening and they'll be well aware of it. But we have got a couple of pubs in the local area that are wanting us to investigate and a local manor house as well. So,
yeah, we are sort of governed quite a lot by what the government say.
Yeah.
And whilst some paranormal groups on Facebook don't appear to have adhered to a lot of that, and I've been chucked out of many a group for calling them out on that, the rule of six, there's eight of us, so that presents a problem straight away. But it will get better, I think, over the coming months. So.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to get back to it.
Definitely.
We've really missed doing it.
Yeah, we were cut short in our prime, really, right at the start, weren't we?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Bit of a nightmare.
I think maybe trying to do some more outside as well as the weather's getting better, because that's, I think, there's so many areas not too far from us where if we spend a bit of time, a bit of effort, maybe we could get something. I know one place near where we used to live, it was called the Devil's Coits, and there's a huge amount of history there, and it's supposedly older than Stonehenge. And there's all sorts of a bit of a mysterious area, whether it's worth trying there. It's not going to cost us anything apart from the sacrificing one evening. But I think there's a lot of places like that.
Outdoor locations, so we could probably all do that.
It's a large stone circle and eerily a lot of animal bones.
A lot.
In the middle of a lot of animal bones.
It'd be nice to get to the bottom of that. I know in the future that we want to try a lot of new experiments, things to test certain theories, which we look forward to bringing out in the future. So I think we're going to try the blindfolded spirit box session, which has been done before, but we'd like to try it ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know quite how we're going to do it yet, but looking into some way of maybe testing the stone tape theory. But I've got to think about how we govern an experiment for that, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, we've spoken to quite a lot of people about stone tape theory, and it's interesting. You were saying about that place you investigated, Chris and Becca, that got turned into flats. We spoke to somebody who they turned the top of a graveyard into a school. And lots of proper weird stuff happening there with this particular spirit that would go through during lunch times and scream in the lunch hall in a primary school. So you can imagine that was a fun day. So yeah, there's loads of stories that we've heard about stone tape theory, just hauntings themselves. What do you guys think that spirits actually are? Do you think they are dead loved ones, or do you think it's something else? Or
I think they're a mixture. I think it all depends. Like with a stone tape fairy, that's going to give you more your residual energy, so things that are repeated over and over. And then you've got your more intelligent haunts. People may be trapped where they are for some reason. And then you've got visitations from families or loved ones. But I don't think that they're permanently bound to the earth plane. I think that they can just visit you as and when you need them. It's like they're around for reassurance. So I'm not too sure on the old poltergeist thing yet. I haven't witnessed what I don't think I've witnessed like anything that. Poltergeist activity yet. I say yet because we could yet witness that.
So I think, isn't there a, some scientists believe that everything's made up of sound? Light and sound.
Yeah.
So like vibration and stuff. So if that, or if that's the case, then it could be echoes.
Echoes in time.
Echoes in time.
Yeah.
So vibrations is another thing that we've sort of come across, and different frequencies. So things appear on different frequency planes. So if it vibrates at a certain frequency, we can see them. And if it slightly higher frequency, we can't see them. And that's one of the theories around that we've been speaking to people about UFOs as well, that they appear because they actually vibrate at a set frequency so we can see them. And the theory is that potentially ghosts or spirits could be the same, and they are actually people that are interacting, they live on Earth as we do, but they're just at a different frequency, so neither of us can see each other. That's one theory that's come up.
Well, they could be,
I mean, the human ear can only pick up a limited sound range.
Yep.
And they've
like with the EVPs, there's a they very, pick up things that
very
are
low, low sound that you can feel. Mm-hmm. But you can't hear. And I think as you get older, like young children and younger generations
can
hear sounds better.
That's why they put up those security alarms that adults can't hear, but only kids can hear them.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, it's true. It's true.
Is that why children can sometimes see and hear things more than we can?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still adept that frequency.
But you can't, I can't think of the deep bass.
I know what you're talking about.
It brings on nausea and sickness and dizziness in people.
And I've heard that about places where ghosts are, that there's a difference in the sort of like the magnetic field, or there's different in the earth. There's different sort of what's the word? Different magnetic fields which cause the senses to be slightly different as well.
So people experience like the things. Ley lines as well, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you've got.
It's funny you should mention, Chris, that the ancient Ram Inn that you had experiences, because that has got an intersection of ley lines underneath.
Yeah.
They do have poltergeist activity there, which we did experience. So.
The more I think about topics you say about unusual things that will, the best things that happen. When we were there, we actually saw it was a sort of stool to like a dressing table.
Which levitated.
Which came off the ground. And no one was touching it. It was well lit. And forgot about that one.
I had one of my most profound experiences at the Ram Inn as well, whereby we were doing a Ouija board, and the whole thing from underneath, something hit it from underneath and it went flying up into the air, like aggressively, it felt like.
Yeah, there's something there that isn't overly friendly.
We all need to go.
Yeah. When we were there, there was someone else had a video in the group we were in, and there was lots of orbs coming down and out from the chimney, going straight to the camera, not anywhere else, just to the camera. And then someone else had a video from another footage, and you could sort of see the same sort of, not as many because the camera wasn't as good, but it was the same thing was happening again, going towards that one person, or was it the camera or the person? Yeah, but we never got a copy of it, and obviously whether they shared it with anyone or anything.
So do you believe that places are haunted, or do you think that people are haunted, like attract the hauntings? Because I know with poltergeist activity, that tends to be around girls going
teenage
through puberty.
Girls.
Yeah, going through puberty. But I just wondered if you had any thoughts on.
I think it can be either or. I think historically you can get a lot of hauntings where, you know, it was their manor house or it was the manor where they've worked most of their life, that type of thing. And that's where they want to be, you know, it's where they want to visit, that was their life. I think there's an awful lot of that type thing.
Yeah, and they're just going around in their loop, their cycle sort of. And then other people are coming into it, but I think, yeah, maybe something that's a bit more, I don't want to say something evil or hungry would maybe then be more interested in sticking with someone or something. Not that we've ever experienced that, but it's, yeah, we can't deny it or acknowledge it really.
But do you guys think that there's a link between like the paranormal spirits and other areas of paranormal, like UFOs, possibly cryptids, or do you think they're all like separate events going on?
I don't know. There's a possibility there could be, you know, the idea of portals, and they're all coming through portals from different dimensions, as the idea.
Goes back on a little bit like what Greg was saying about sort of sound. You know, we could be coexisting on the planet,
yeah,
with another life form and not actually realise because we're on a different wavelength, I suppose.
Yes, metaphorically and yeah, physically.
you know, we. Yeah. I don't know.
Going back to people, whether people are haunted,
yeah,
I can say that, yes, I think people can be haunted, especially people that, like myself, that are sensitive. We act as almost like beacons for the spirits. So they kind of come and find us out to try and communicate with us if they've got some sort of message to pass on. So, yeah, I do believe that people can be haunted.
I think as parents, you always think if something happens to me, you sort of want to still watch over your children,
mm-hmm,
and like watch out for them. So, you know, when you pass, you've got that in your mind anyway. So possibility that you could actually go into the...
Tied to the physical realm
because of your love for your children.
Yeah.
And your need to protect them. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that could be a big part of it. Yeah.
How about you, Chris and Becca?
Well, maybe there is a link between the frequencies of what you were saying. And, you know, I think there could be, but I've never sort of really looked into in sort of massive detail any sort of links, yeah, between them. But it's, you know, the similar sort of warning signs or clues maybe, or sort of things to lead you down that sort of, you know, curious mystery sort of unexplained route. Yeah, you don't know.
We were speaking to John Blackburn, and we, mm-hmm, Chris and Becca, we went on one of his evenings where he was talking about the painting, and the painting was there of David, and
yeah,
and he actually now believes that there's a link between aliens and the paranormal, and he's starting to investigate spirits and orbs that are part of UFO sort of folklore now, and claims that he's seen this big orb at Rendlesham Forest,
mm-hmm,
where the UFO incident took place in 1980, and as part of this spirit that was seen, it was actually a grey alien. So he seems to think that there's a link between the paranormal and UFOs. And there's a lot of UFOs and like Bigfoot type events happen at the same time. But yeah, so I don't know if there's that full link, but a lot of people we speak to do do talk about UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids, and the paranormal all sort of happening in similar locations. Not necessarily that they're the same thing, but that there's some kind of link. But don't know. Cool.
Oh yeah. So thank you guys for coming on and chatting to us, sharing your experiences and your knowledge. It's been fascinating.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.